My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
We had no problems when Trump was president, but when this weak, pathetic man that you saw at a debate just a few months ago, that if he weren't in that debate, he'd be running instead of her. She got no votes. He got 14 million votes. What you did, you talk about a threat to democracy. He got 14 million votes and they threw him out of office. And you know what? I'll give you a little secret. He hates her. He can't stand her. But he got 14 million votes. They threw him out. She got zero votes. And when she ran, she was the first one to leave because she failed. And now she's running. I don't understand it, but okay with it because
your time is
I think
up.
We're going to do very well.
That sums up a lot, doesn't it? There you have David Muir. As soon as Donald Trump says, oh, he hates her, he's like, Mr. President, we don't talk like that here. At least not about other people than you. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy 12:07 here in St. Louis. Happy Thursday. September 12th is a day on the calendar that I think that we all reflect on. Yesterday, of course, we talked quite a bit about September 11th. 23 years later after that horrific attack, and a lot of us remember what September 12th felt like as well. And here we are, back to the grind. Today's YouTube live chat poll, and this is one that we've got over 50 votes in this before the show even started. So I'm very curious to see how y'all are going to not just vote on it, but also weigh in on it, your comments. Does Joe Biden like Kamala Harris? We're interested in what you think about that. If you ask Donald Trump, he hates her. That's what he said in the poll. Vicky says on YouTube, I think he can't stand her, but he served her purpose. She served her purpose. How do you think this goes down? In my like fantasy land of politics and what could happen, if Joe Biden is as corrupt as I think he is, or his family is, we've got two different court cases where Hunter Biden is guilty. One, he was found guilty. The second one here, just recently at the beginning of September, he pled guilty. He's going to be in some trouble. And I'm thinking that some of the trouble that Hunter Biden is going to find himself in with the current trial that was is still taking place in California. That's the tax evasion one. That's where he didn't pay his taxes. But then, like, when people started to sniff around the fact that he didn't pay his taxes, he got somebody to come in and swoop in and help pay. I think it was millions. Wasn't it like $3 million in taxes or something?
Yeah, it was quite a large chunk of change.
Yeah. It's not something that folks like you and me would be able to just be like, ah, just toss him a few mil and it'll be fine. So he had someone come in and take care of that. And then they're like, oh, everything's paid up. Everything's fine. It's not fine. You can't do that. You have to, I think the phrase is pay your fair share, like any of it. And then he said that he couldn't pay, or he couldn't be judged for this because he was not in the right state of mind because he was on drugs. But he did fill out tax forms and he did claim his hookers and drugs on his taxes. It's a write-off. You feel when you're filling out your own tax forms or you're doing your taxes, aren't you like a little scared? If you're a rule follower, I'm a rule follower, you're filling it out and you're just thinking like, God dang it, I hope I do this. I hope I do this correctly. There's a cartoon out there. I can't remember who did it. And it's about somebody shows up. Oh, no, it wasn't a cartoon. It was something I saw on Twitter and I wanted to share it on the air, but it was so filthy with what language that it would lose its purpose playing it on the air with all the beeps that we'd have to put into it. And it's this person shows up at this other person's door and it's like, hi, I'm here for the IRS. You owe me money. Pay me your money. And the guy answers the door. He's like, okay, how much do I owe you? And they're like, we can't tell you. And he's like, well, how am I supposed to pay you if you can't tell me how much you owe me? And they say, we've created tools for that. And he's like, and then the guy says, well, if you've created tools for that, why can't you use the tools to tell me how much I owe you and then I'll pay you? And they're like, we can't do that. And then just go back and forth. And it's so threatening. The IRS showing up is so threatening about what's going to happen if you don't pay them the amount of money that they won't tell you that you owe. I mean, the entire premise of the old Democrat Party is the idea that the rich are going to pay more. Those in the lower class aren't going to pay really anything they're going to get. And then you got to define who's middle class and who's upper class and so on and so forth. But paying your fair share, you hear that? That's like the one consistent thing you hear from Democrat candidate to Democrat candidate to Democrat candidate, because it sells. Because the idea that the very wealthy, the privileged out there getting to have all this money that they have enjoyed while other people aren't, that's an easy sell. Most people in a capitalistic society are motivated by seeing people who have things that they don't. The idea is that you then motivate yourself to work to get the things that other people have that you don't. For whatever reason, Hunter Biden is not part of the Democratic plan of paying your fair share. He has pled guilty, so I guess kudos to him for that. I don't know. When Donald Trump, going back to the idea of my fantasy land here, I want Donald Trump. Can we get the Trump video up here? Because I want to play this sound. It's unbelievable. Donald Trump or Joe Biden was in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, commemorating the Flight 93, 9/11 tragedy. And he's in this room full of people. And I mean, there is a photo out there right now of him standing posing with all these people. There's a lot of children there. I think it's in a fire department. And these children have on, I think they're red shirts with this white kind of outline of Donald Trump's head. And he's wearing sunglasses and it says on the bottom, I'll be back. And so he's with all of these kids, all these people who are very eagerly supporting Donald Trump. And then he's talking to this guy. He's sitting there, this Pennsylvanian, is that how you say it? Man, sitting in this fire department. He's wearing a gray t-shirt, pocket on his left chest. He's got suspenders on. Is that the Punisher on his? What?
Kind of looks like it.
He's got these big, thick suspenders on. And he's wearing himself a red hat. And across the top of the red hat, it just says in big, bold blue letters, Trump. So Joe Biden shows up to this event to commemorate the Flight 93 tragedy. And then this exchange happens. Joe Biden standing there holding a presidential hat with a presidential seal. Let's listen in.
Trump, I'd like to give you my presidential hat. Presidential seal on it.
You're going to autograph it?
Oh, sure, I'll order.
Huh?
Yeah.
Do you remember your name?
I don't remember my name. I'm slow.
You're old pork. You're an old pork.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm an old guy.
And you're an old pork.
I know you would know about that.
What?
I'm being old.
Oh, I know.
All right.
I'm a young timer.
He reminds me of the guys I grew up with. There was always one in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I'm the only one.
There you go, man. I need that hat.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You want my autograph?
Hell no.
You know my name. Come on.
I ain't going that far.
Yeah. You said you were doing filthy.
He's holding Donald Trump's hat. And the hat goes on. The hat goes on Joe Biden's head. I saw this yesterday. What was I doing yesterday? Oh, I went to some volleyball games to watch some volleyball. And I was just kind of flipping through Twitter, maybe at a timeout or something like that. Not, I wasn't coaching. I was watching. I don't look at Twitter in the huddle. That doesn't happen. I'm flipping through Twitter and I saw this image of Joe Biden with this red Trump hat sitting on top of the hat that Joe Biden was wearing. And I'm like, Nope. Just move on. I didn't read it. And then I scroll on later on that night when I get into bed and I'm looking through Twitter and I'm like, I see this video and I'm like, my goodness, what happened? So I watch this whole video. And honestly, it's Joe Biden is incredibly endearing in that whole conversation. He's in a room full of Trump supporters. He's talking to them. He's talking to them like they're human. He's talking to them. This is the thing that I find to be really interesting. He is talking to these people the way Donald Trump talks to people. He communicates with them. He doesn't really cede ground to him. Joe Biden, in these conversations, Joe Biden's giving this guy a hard time the whole time. He's talking about this Trump supporter who's sitting there. I mean, honestly, the Trump supporter was a little precocious in the way he was speaking to the president of the United States. He asks Joe Biden early on, like, do you even remember your name? I mean, that's pretty bold. This is the type of stuff that you say in the privacy of your own home, in the privacy of some Twitter handle that isn't associated with you. But when the president of the United States is in front of you, I would not be saying these things. But this guy, he's unfazed. And he says to Joe Biden, do you even remember your name? And he says, I'm slow. And he's joking about it. Like you can tell that, I mean, the way Joe Biden is handling himself, his mannerisms the whole time, he's not like quick and snappy in his physical movements, but he hangs into this conversation with essentially a heckler. He's having a one-on-one conversation in front of a camera with a man in Pennsylvania who's wearing a Trump hat at a like essentially sacred ground. Shanksville is a town that really nobody nationally should know about Shanksville. Nobody would know about Shanksville, Pennsylvania, had Flight 93 not crashed into a wide open field. When my husband and I went there this July to see that memorial, we were shocked at how remote and small America town Shanksville was. Like in your mind, when you've heard about it, it's this place that is, you say Shanksville and people know what that means. This is a small town in Pennsylvania that is now unfortunately nationally known, globally known. And Joe Biden's in there and he's having this conversation. And I do not know why he put the hat on. Politically, he should not have put that hat on. But it was very humanizing of a man that has spent, what would you say, 2024, this last year, being raked over the coals for his faculties.
Yeah, the whole season.
We're not talking not talking about how bad his policies are. His policies are still bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But this year has been about Joe Biden's mental and physical decline.
Yeah, and that's kind of what sunk him in the debate was he got up there and he just seemed, and everybody was talking about it before, but the debate was really when it was on full display. It's kind of impressive to watch him. I mean, I watched this video and I see basically two old men sitting on a porch who've been lifelong friends.
Grouching at each other.
Grouching at one another.
He says there's always one in the neighborhood. and I mean, like, that's relatable. That's understandable.
I liked the autograph. He's like, will you sign that for me? Sure, I'll sign it. It's like, you want me to sign yours? Hell no.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for as quick of a back and forth, a playful heckling back and forth that Joe Biden had there with this Trump supporter. And again, Pennsylvania, the election is going to run through Pennsylvania. Did Joe Biden know what he was doing when he put on that Trump hat? There's like a political rule. This is something that like political campaign managers and people who are in charge of the whole production of a campaign, you don't put on hats. You never put on a hat. That's like a rule. You never put on a hat. In fact, a lot of times they wear hats going out places so their head isn't empty for you to all of a sudden get some goofy hat put on you, which is then the image that is used in every political hit ad about everything in the world surrounding your campaign. You don't put on hats. He put the Donald Trump hat on top of the hat he was wearing. Does he have the mental presence to understand exactly what he was doing when he did that? And if he doesn't, why is he still the president of the United States? YouTube live chat poll for today. Does Joe Biden like Kamala Harris? Yes or no? Simple question. Donald Trump proposed in the debate that he hates her. Shaggy said, on the poll, I said no. She stabbed him in the back. And Betsy said no, in my opinion, but not sure what it has to do with anything, to be honest. It's just something else to talk about. Honestly, it's just something else to talk about. All right, let's take a quick break. Hans von Spakovsky on the Annie Fry Show when we come back. And Merrick Garland was giving this, like, breaking news presser. And all of a sudden, we thought something was going to happen, and then it didn't. What was Merrick Garland talking about, saying there's only one rule of law? Hans, the best person to talk about it when we come back.
This provision of the principles ends with an admonition. Quote, federal prosecutors and agents may never make a decision regarding an investigation or prosecution for the purpose of affecting any election or the purpose of giving an advantage or disadvantage to any candidate or political party. In short, we must treat like cases alike. There is not one rule for friends and another for foes, one rule for the powerful and another for the powerless, one rule for the rich and another for the poor, one rule for Democrats and another for Republicans, or different rules depending on one's race or ethnicity. To the contrary, we have only one rule. We follow the facts and apply the law in a way that respects the Constitution and protects civil liberties.
We, the people of the United States,
more perfect.
Your form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Well, it's good to have Hans today because I was going to ask this question, but I'll quote Russell on our live chat. What the heck was Merrick Garland talking about an hour ago? That news conference made no sense to me. Hans, welcome back to the show. When I heard him talking and he was talking about his longevity in the justice system, I thought maybe he was going to resign or something. But at the end, it seemed like it was just an admonishment for anybody who thinks that the DOJ is partisan.
Well, that's correct. And, you know, he also gave a talk in which he talked about the dangerous and outrageous attacks on Justice Department lawyers. But if the clip you just played, that is exactly the way the Justice Department should be run, on a non-political basis. But him claiming that's the way he's running it is a complete and total lie. I mean, just talking about one thing in particular, you know, him saying that, you know, we shouldn't make one decision based on whether a possible defendant is a Republican versus a defendant versus a Democrat. Well, okay. Well, then how do you explain the classified documents, criminal prosecution against Donald Trump for supposedly mishandling classified documents at the very same time that he said, oh, there'll be no prosecution of Joe Biden once he becomes the former president for the mishandling of classified documents during the time that he was a U.S. senator and vice president, which went on for a lot longer. I'm sorry, but you just can't reconcile what actually happened in those two cases and what he just said in his speech.
Yeah, completely agree. We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky, former DOJ lawyer as well, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. I'm going to ask you a very simple question. You've kind of answered this already in the Trump context, but even in a broader sense, has the Merrick Garland Justice Department been politically nonpartisan? Have they exacted equal justice under the law?
No, and not at all. And I can give you another, even more recent example of this. You know, Merrick Garland held this big press conference, and they've made a great deal about the fact that they just filed a criminal indictment against these two Russians who, as you know, set up, you know, they disguised themselves as saying they were Belgian, and they set up a media company in Tennessee to do social media broadcasts that includes some, you know, pretty well-known conservative influencers. If you look at that indictment, part of what they have indicted these Russians for is violation of the FARA Act, right? The Foreign Agent Registration Act, which is the act that says that if you're representing a foreign government, you've got to register with the U.S. Justice Department, right? Well, that's what Hunter Biden was doing. He was doing exactly that, representing foreign governments and foreign companies and lobbying his father. He fits squarely within the FARA Act. And you know what the Justice Department under Merrick Garland did? They never charged him. And in fact, allowed the statute of limitations to run so he can never be charged under the FARA Act.
So what is it that, you know, I think that everybody should be able to agree that if you're serving in government, if you're an elected official, if you're a citizen, if you're a private citizen, you should be able to live your life without threat of attack from somebody else. Your physical person, you should feel safe and secure, right, in this country. And, you know, maybe that's what Merrick Garland was addressing, that there have been threats being made to people in the Department of Justice. We can all agree that that shouldn't happen. I'm looking at a president of the United States who had his ear almost shot off and his head almost blown off, and nobody seems to want to talk about that anymore. But yes, let's make sure that the people in the Justice Department feel safe and secure as well. What prompted Attorney General Merrick Garland to come out today and admonish anybody who is criticizing his work and the body of his department?
Well, because there has been so much well-deserved criticism. And look, I certainly agree with you. There shouldn't be physical attacks or physical assaults, but that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about all of the critiques about him and the fact that he has weaponized the department and it is engaging in political decisions, and so are his prosecutors when they are enforcing federal law. And that's what he is giving a speech against. He doesn't think they should be criticized because he claims they're not doing that. Well, I'm sorry, but the evidence is right there that, in fact, they are doing that. And it's not just in the political arena, but it's in all kinds of other areas. The way, for example, they have unfairly and unjustifiably attacked states for putting in things like voter ID laws, or the way they have abused the FACE Act, you know, the act that says you can't commit violence at not only an abortion clinic, but churches and places like that. There have been almost 200 incidents at churches and other pregnancy centers, almost none of which have been prosecuted by DOJ at the same time that they've been going after peaceful protesters at abortion clinics. That's another example of the politics driving law enforcement at the Justice Department.
Yeah, and I think Americans see it. And it was an interesting admonishment, like we were talking about before, this afternoon, or I guess late this morning, at least our time, when they came out with that message. I want to circle back to the consequences of this election regarding what Merrick Garland had to say here before we wrap up. But you talked about voting rights, and I'm going to play for you a clip from Congressman Byron Donalds talking about the SAVE Act. I think I just saw on the news that the Speaker of the House has to push back the vote to attach the SAVE Act to the CR. There, people are talking government shutdown again. We are in government shutdown season. If you pay attention to the calendar, that's when we usually start talking about it. But here's Congressman Donalds talking about the SAVE Act.
And then piece number two is the SAVE Act. We should be doing everything within our power to make sure that the voting franchise of the American people is protected at all costs. That includes making sure illegals do not vote in our elections.
So Congressman Donald's talking about making sure illegal immigrants don't vote in our elections. And the Democrats are pushing back and saying illegal immigrants already can't vote in our elections. Why would we need the SAVE Act? So I'll ask you that question, Hans. Why would we need the SAVE Act if it's already illegal for illegal immigrants to vote?
Well, according to that logic, which I actually label as illogic, aliens won't register and vote because it's a criminal violation of the law to do that. Mm. Well, I suppose that means all of our prisons must be empty across the country, right? Because people are deterred from committing any crimes because it's already illegal. No, we need the SAVE Act because of the fact that right now we have an honor system. You register to vote in any state, and do they check your ID? No. Do they check that you really live in the state? No. Do they check to see if you're really a U.S. citizen? No. And there's plenty of evidence, which the left wants to deny, that aliens are registering. They are voting. In Virginia, they just removed 6,300 aliens from the rolls. So the SAVE Act is needed so that states can require proof of citizenship when you register to vote. Right now, they're being stopped by the courts because every time a state actually tries to put in a law like this, the left sues them. The ACLU, the Garland Justice Department, they sue to stop states from requiring proof of citizenship when people register to vote. Well, why would they be doing that if they think there's not a problem? Obviously, citizens won't have a problem providing proof of citizenship. The reason they're fighting against this so much is because they know aliens are registering, they know they're voting, and they don't want them stopped or caught because they believe it will help them win elections. That's what's really going on here.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. Circling back to the question that I wanted to ask you before, it's a pretty broad question because when we look at what Merrick Garland is saying today about the complete and total nonpartisan, unbiased Department of Justice that he's in charge of, a lot of people are skeptical of that, of course. In the event that Donald Trump wins in November and is inaugurated once again in January, we've heard Donald Trump talk about releasing the JFK files. We've heard about him talking about releasing other sorts of information to the American public. And I imagine that there is a great amount of work that is going to have to be done at the Department of Justice to restore it back to the American people and not the bureaucratic, consistent elitism that has come out there for I don't know how long, honestly. Can Donald Trump really, as the executive, effectively make the dramatic changes that need to be made with the strike of his pen? What does he need to be able to do that?
I will tell you that it's going to be very difficult for him to do that. And frankly, one of the key things for the Department of Justice is to not put in, during his first term, he put in all of these political appointees who didn't want to do anything that would upset the career ranks, would upset the editorial pages of the Washington Post and the New York Times, and might hurt their future legal careers, for example, with big law firms. I mean, that I'm sorry, but that was a problem. He needs tough-minded, fair, but tough-minded people who are going to go in and, frankly, fire some of the worst people, like Jack Smith, the unlawful special counsel, stop the worst cases they have, like getting them to dismiss all the lawsuits they have filed against states who are trying to put in things like voter ID or proof of citizenship. And it'll be hard because all of the career lawyers, which is the vast majority of the Justice Department, will be doing everything they can to stop Donald Trump. And that's why, frankly, hopefully, there'll be a lot of terminations of many of the lawyers at the Justice Department.
So he, as the executive, puts in an attorney general, and the attorney general starts purging the Department of Justice from the people who are not serving the American people? Essentially, that's how that goes?
Yes, that is exactly right. And there'll be howls of protest from the public unions, mm-hmm. from MSNBC and others.
Boo-hoo.
And you need people who don't care that they're being castigated by the New York Times, but will go through and continue those kinds of actions.
Mm. Well, I believe Donald Trump has the guts to do it, and I hope that he has the wisdom to pick the people who can make that happen. Hans, thank you for being
yes.
with us. Lots of news today. You were just the right person for the job, so we appreciate your time this afternoon.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We'll talk to you again soon. Hans von Spakovsky, the senior legal fellow at Heritage Foundation with us today. His book is Our Broken Elections. I encourage you to check that out, especially leading into this election. You can understand how the left changed the way you vote. That book by Hans von Spakovsky. Quick break. When we come back, no Ryan Wiggins. He's taking a break for today and tomorrow. He's done. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Happy to be with you this afternoon. The YouTube live chat poll. Does Joe Biden like Kamala Harris? Yes or no? Somebody commented, I don't know why this matters. It doesn't matter. But now that, I mean, I'm flattered that maybe this is like below par, but or above par. Which would be better? You'd rather be below par. It really depends on if you look at the number is like there's par in the middle. If it's a par five, is four is below par.
Yes.
So it's better to be below par.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Golf is one of those sports.
Well, I know that, but it's just from a number standpoint.
Yes.
But I don't know from a communication standpoint, because if I said, oh, I hit below par. I don't think that you would want to hit below par.
You wouldn't, like when you hear somebody say I hit below, you were like, uh-oh, that's not good.
I don't think that that's good.
This
sounds just like Wiggins America. No, I kind of want to know how to talk. I don't want to say. My son is playing golf for the first, he's on the golf team in high school. And he's never played before. And he's learning lots of things. Which I think if you, I mean, he's an athlete. He plays baseball. He plays basketball. He plays volleyball. He's an athlete. But I think one of the most effective things you can do in high school, as far as sports goes, if you are in a position to be able to try new things, is to play golf. That's the one thing you're going to take out of high school that you're going to be able to use until you can't physically function anymore. Not a lot of pickup football games for 40-year-olds out there, but there's a lot of golf and there's a lot of money to be made on the golf course. So I think it's a good business decision. I want to talk about conversations around the election. I see people, I get pitched ideas for the show on a regular basis. Oh, here's a guest you should have on the show. They'd be great. And every PR firm thinks that their guest would be great on the show. So if I don't know, I don't usually put people on if I don't know them ahead of time, if I don't have a good jump on what that conversation, like how to guide that conversation in a positive way. But there is a lot of discussion. I get a lot of pitches from psychologists. It's like how to handle an emotional election season. And I'm like, you just vote for the person who's going to make America great again. Like, and then you feel better about it. It's not as simple for everybody, of course. But on Fox News, there is an opinion piece by Dr. Kent Engel. And it says three essential rules to encourage unity this election season. And, you know, I think that even that as a proposition to American voters, like unity on what? Because there is a party, a political party that stumps on unity all the time, but they want you to unite in their division, which sounds counterintuitive because it is, but it's also politically lucrative, so they still do it. When you try to divide people into the goods and the bads, and you try to do it on the most basic, obvious levels possible, If you can successfully divide those people, then you can start to acquire those people. And that's really what happens in identity politics. If I see you and your skin is a certain color, I immediately know something about you, which is the opposite of progress. But here we are. I'm supposed to see you and I'm supposed to know what you think about issues by issue, issue by issue by issue. If you are of a certain age, if your skin is a certain color, if you're a certain gender, as if I'm allowed to even assume that you are of a certain gender, then I should know things about you. That is how in politics, the reason why, I mean, a lot of people are like, I don't know why we have to be talking about all of this stuff all the time. And the answer is because it's how people win elections. It's really that simple. It's gross. It's grimy. But it's real. You divide people, and then you figure out how to acquire each of the groups that you divide. And then if you can collectively acquire each of those groups surrounding the one that everybody collectively can point at and say, baddies, point at them and make sure that everybody understands who is the collective villain here. Then you can unite all of your differences, all of the people who have been chopped up in different groups. You unite those people around who the baddie is. And that's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the one who's been standing in the middle. And if you're black, you're supposed to, let me just quote Joe Biden. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black. As if, I mean, Joe Biden, the most powerful white man in the world, hands out and retracts black cards from people. I feel gross even saying that right now, but hey, I'm not the one who originally said it. If you're female, you should only vote with your reproductive rights, which is abortion. If you are somebody who is highly educated, then there's no way that you could think of something very differently. If you're very rich, you should vote a certain way. If you're very poor, you should vote a certain way. If you're the middle class, you're the one in the middle being tugged on, people paying attention to, because the middle class is the biggest group of them all. If you're this religion, you should vote this way. If you're that religion, you should vote this way. It's kind of interesting to watch the Democrats try to pull in the Jewish contingent of their Democrat support with the pro-Hamas part. They're still trying. They are resilient people. This doctor is talking about three essential rules to encourage unity this election season. And the first one is learn to have a conversation. Brad, so many people don't understand how to have a conversation. It's like preachy all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I was playing video games last night with some friends, and we were having a conversation, and it wasn't really a conversation. I said something, and basically the response ended up being the equivalent of, I'm putting my fingers in my ears, la, 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 I don't care what you have to say. And it's like, just stop and listen for a second and hear. And then I'll listen to what you have to say, and then we'll call that a conversation.
Yeah. You're not asking them to agree. You're asking them to hear you.
Right.
The second one is treat others with respect. And I think that this is goes hand in hand. Like, if you first and foremost aren't willing to listen, then you are not respecting that person because you're saying you're not worth listening to.
Right. And that's super disrespectful. Again, that conversation that I had last night, or that interaction that I had last night, calling it a conversation. It wasn't. That interaction I had last night, it was incredibly disrespectful for somebody to
serving the American people. Essentially, that's how that goes.
Yes, that is exactly right. And there'll be howls of protest from the public unions, mm-hmm. from MSNBC and others.
Boo-hoo.
And you need people who don't care that they're being castigated by the New York Times, but will go through and continue those kinds of actions.
Mm. Well, I believe Donald Trump has the guts to do it, and I hope that he is the wisdom to pick the people who can make that happen. Hans, thank you for being with us. Lots of news today. You were just the right person for the job, so we appreciate your time this afternoon.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We'll talk to you again soon. Hans von Spakovsky, the senior legal fellow at Heritage Foundation, with us today. His book is Our Broken Elections. I encourage you to check that out, especially leading into this election. You can understand how the left changed the way you vote. That book by Hans von Spakovsky. Quick break. When we come back, no Ryan Wiggins. He's taking a break for today and tomorrow. He's done. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Happy to be with you this afternoon. The YouTube live chat poll. Does Joe Biden like Kamala Harris? Yes or no? Somebody commented, I don't know why this matters. It doesn't matter. But now, I mean, I'm flattered that maybe this is like below par, but or above par. Which would be better? You'd rather be below par. It really depends on if you look at the number is like there's par in the middle. If it's a par five, is four is below par.
Yes.
So it's better to be below par.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Golf is one of those sports.
Well, I know that, but it's just from a number standpoint.
Yes.
But I don't know from a communication standpoint, because if I said, oh, I hit below par. I don't think that you would want to hit below par.
Or you wouldn't, like when you hear somebody say, I hit below, you were like, uh-oh, that's not good.
I don't think that that's good.
That
sounds just like Wiggins America. No, I kind of want to know how to talk. I don't want to say, my son is playing golf for the first, he's on the golf team in high school, and he's never played before. And he's learning lots of things, which I think if you, I mean, he's an athlete. He plays baseball. He plays basketball. He plays volleyball. He's an athlete. But I think one of the most effective things you can do in high school as far as sports goes, if you are in a position to be able to try new things, is to play golf. That's the one thing you're going to take out of high school that you're going to be able to use until you can't physically function anymore. Not a lot of pickup football games for 40-year-olds out there, but there's a lot of golf, and there's a lot of money to be made on the golf course. So I think it's a good business decision. I want to talk about conversations around the election. I see people, I get pitched ideas for the show on a regular basis. Oh, here's a guest you should have on the show. They'd be great. And every PR firm thinks that their guest would be great on the show. So if I don't know, I don't usually put people on if I don't know them ahead of time, if I don't have a good jump on what that conversation, like how to guide that conversation in a positive way. But there is a lot of discussion. I get a lot of pitches from psychologists. It's like how to handle an emotional election season. And I'm like, you just vote for the person who's going to make America great again. and then you feel better about it. It's not as simple for everybody, of course. But on Fox News, there is an opinion piece by Dr. Kent Engel. And it says three essential rules to encourage unity this election season. And, you know, I think that even that as a proposition to American voters, like unity on what? Because there is a party, a political party that stumps on unity all the time, but they want you to unite in their division, which sounds counterintuitive because it is, but it's also politically lucrative. So they still do it. When you try to divide people into the goods and the bads, and you try to do it on the most basic, obvious levels possible, if you can successfully divide those people, then you can start to acquire those people. And that's really what happens in identity politics. If I see you and your skin is a certain color, I immediately know something about you, which is the opposite of progress. But here we are. I'm supposed to see you and I'm supposed to know what you think about issues by issue, issue by issue by issue. If you are of a certain age, if your skin is a certain color, if you're a certain gender, as if I'm allowed to even assume that you are of a certain gender, then I should know things about you. That is how in politics, the reason why, I mean, a lot of people are like, I don't know why we have to be talking about all of this stuff all the time. And the answer is because it's how people win elections. It's really that simple. It's gross. It's grimy. But it's real. You divide people, and then you figure out how to acquire each of the groups that you divide. And then if you can collectively acquire each of those groups surrounding the one that everybody collectively can point at and say, baddies, point at them and make sure that everybody understands who is the collective villain here. Then you can unite all of your differences, all of the people who have been chopped up in different groups. You unite those people around who the baddie is. And that's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the one who's been standing in the middle. And if you're black, you're supposed to, I don't know. Let me just quote Joe Biden. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Joe Biden, the most powerful white man in the world, hands out and retracts black cards from people. I feel gross even saying that right now, but hey, I'm not the one who originally said it. If you're female, you should only vote with your reproductive rights, which is abortion. If you are somebody who is highly educated, then there's no way that you could think of something very differently. If you're very rich, you should vote a certain way. If you're very poor, you should vote a certain way. If you're the middle class, you're the one in the middle being tugged on, people paying attention to, because the middle class is the biggest group of them all. If you're this religion, you should vote this way. If you're that religion, you should vote this way. It's kind of interesting to watch the Democrats try to pull in the Jewish contingent of their Democrat support with the pro-Hamas part. They're still trying. They are resilient people. This doctor is talking about three essential rules to encourage unity this election season. And the first one is learn to have a conversation. Brad, so many people don't understand how to have a conversation. It's like preachy all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I was playing video games last night with some friends, and we were having a conversation, and it wasn't really a conversation. I said something, and basically the response ended up being the equivalent of, I'm putting my fingers in my ears, la, 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 I don't care what you have to say. And it's like, just stop and listen for a second and hear, and then I'll listen to what you have to say, and then we'll call that a conversation.
Yeah. You're not asking them to agree. You're asking them to hear you.
Right.
The second one is treat others with respect. And I think that this is goes hand in hand. Like if you first and foremost aren't willing to listen, then you are not respecting that person because you're saying you're not worth listening to.
Right. And that's, yeah, that's super disrespectful. Again, that conversation that I had last night or that interaction that I had last night, calling it a conversation. It wasn't. That interaction I had last night, it was incredibly disrespectful for somebody to act that way and to talk over me. But also, if you're the one being disrespected, then you also have to maintain a calm head and not blow up and escalate it into something more than what it should be.
Yeah. I think especially in our super politically divisive times that if you're the person, if you are the Trump supporter that is approached by a Democrat, Biden, Harris, whatever supporter, and you treat them with respect, you might be the first person who did. Because I know a lot of Trump supporters who want to smack people around and be like, "How are you stupid?" And then, you know, you go into your pro-Trump stuff and that's not helpful. If you're somebody who's on the right and you're like, yeah, you know what? I just really think that on the economy, Kamala Harris doesn't seem to have a grasp on what is going to be good for this country. And I think she's going to do more of the Joe Biden thing. And it just doesn't seem to go well. And I think Donald Trump's the guy in the economy. And that's why I'm voting for him. And if they push back on how can you vote for this? How can you vote for that? I mean, you can listen to these people who are saying this and you can be respectful to those people. And you can at the end go, yeah, I just see it differently. I just disagree. But I respect your right to disagree as well. Most people who are interested in having those conversations are pretty combative on both sides of the aisle, mm-hmm. equally on both sides mm-hmm. of the aisle. They're not prepared to have a conversation that is polite and respectful.
No. And it seems like that's the default setting for people on politics or even in Twitter. And I know you've experienced this. You'll say something.
I don't fight on Twitter.
And the immediate response from people, even people that are on the same side of the aisle as you, is not to hear what you say, but to assume that you're being aggressive.
Yeah. If I said something critical of, who was it just recently? Oh, Fox News in the stupid non-town hall. And people are like, Donald Trump's been everywhere. He's been doing... I'm like, I'm a Trump supporter. Just wanted to hear more from Town Hall. The third one on encouraging unity is focus on building relationships. If you do the first two, you're going to do the third. And the best thing you can do is have people understand you as a human, as an individual that respect you as your right to have your own perspective. And to focus on that relationship that becomes more important than the political persuasion of the other person. It's a really effective way to actually make your point when you care more about people than politics. Tyrus, when we come back, don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.